different for the reading of the Word. I know you've been sitting there just for a few moments, and I just have a few moments. So for the reading of the Word, take your Bibles and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15 will attempt to expound upon this portion of the Scripture by the power of the Holy Spirit. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 22. That's where I'll begin for the sake of time. The Bible says, "And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said to Samuel, And I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. And Samuel said unto him, The Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor or thine of thine that is better than thou. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent. For he is not a man that he should repent. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord thy God. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Then said Samuel, Bring ye hither to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came unto him delicately. And Agag said, Surely the bitterness of death is past. And Samuel said, As the sword hath made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord at Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house to Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bow before you this morning, and we thank you for the singing. And Father, that's uplifting glory to you. We thank you for the offering, our chance to, Father, get a blessing from you, from giving back to you what you had given to us. Father, we thank you for Sunday school and those that have come out. And Father, be with these people's heart. Father, I pray that our hearts be attentive to your word. Father, I pray that you would strike not from my lips, wrong from my mind. And Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit this morning. Be with our pastor as he's away preaching. Father, at another engagement, be with this church. Bless these people. Bless your word. Suit a blessing to everyone that's come. Be with those that we've brought up before you in prayer petition. Now we ask all this that you would answer and ask these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Here in this portion of Scripture, we find just in half of this chapter a true story that took place to Saul. Saul was king. God had taken him out, chosen him. He was head and shoulders taller than everyone, and God had chosen him to be the king of Israel. And so God gives him a duty, a task to do. And so he tells Saul, and I'll iterate some of the first part of the chapter. He tells Saul, listen, I want you to go over to the Amalekites and utterly destroy them. He gives him pretty descriptive list of things that he wanted him to do, and he was extremely clear about his orders. And so Saul sets out to do what God had told him. But here we find a problem, and we've read this as Saul attempts to do what he says God told him to do, but he does not. And so here, God says, look, he tells Samuel, I want you to go talk to Saul. I want you to set him straight. And so Samuel sets Saul straight and tells him, look, what did you do? And Saul tries to justify himself. What I want to deal with this morning can be taken from a national to our country. It can apply to our country. It can apply to the church. the churches of today. It can comply to our church here. It can comply to the people sitting here and individually. And I've dealt with it all this week, putting it together and preparing it for this morning. But let me say this. This is the title, Rebellion and Worship Don't Mix. Rebellion and worship don't mix. Let's get into this. Here's what we're saying. Saul here is saying, listen, I have sinned, but yet honor me. This is what he stated. Let me say this. The Bible's very clear that sin and honor don't go together. Sin and honor don't go together. The Bible says that we should worship God in spirit and in truth. This is how we're to worship God today. But let me say, sin and honor do not go together. Saul belittles his sin, which is rebellion. We find, if you boil it down to what Saul was dealing with here in his life, because he would not obey the words of the Lord, was rebellion. Rebellion. Saul belittles his sin, which is rebellion. He dismisses the severity of it, as if God knows no better. I got news for you this morning. God knows, God sees, and he knows what we do and what we don't do. And so rebellion and worship don't mix. Rebellion says, I have messed up, but honor me anyway. I want to preach anyway. I want to be a teacher anyway. I know I've messed up. I know I've sinned. But I want to hold my position in church anyway. I want to pastor, although I've messed up, and I still want to do it anyway. This is rebellion, and God is not for it. And so this is what we begin to find out here in 1 Samuel chapter 15. Worship doesn't start when you get to church. Amen. Worship doesn't start when you get to church. And it doesn't end when you leave. A lot of times, Christian, I think today's Christians, we think that church and worship start at the same time. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and that's it. Worship is all the time. Worship is all the time. Let me say this. Rebellion is to be anti-God's word. You see, God had told Samuel, and he told the king Saul, look, this is what I want you to do. And he laid out there a list, and so Saul sets about doing it, but he changes his mind. He changes what he does. And I want you to notice four things about Saul. Number one, recklessness of selfishness. Recklessness of selfishness. Notice with me in verse 9. Now, I know we didn't read verse 9, but we will right now. It says, but Saul and the people spared Agag, that's the king of the Amalekites there, and the beast of the sheep, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. So here, he makes a judgment call against what God had clearly laid down for him to do. And I'm speaking of Saul here. And we see the recklessness of selfishness. Rebellion always leads to subjective obedience. Let me say that. Rebellion always leads to subjective obedience. If you have kids, you're a parent, I'm a parent. Four beautiful children, and I noticed that when they kick their heels up a little bit, and they're young still, that rebellion always starts with subjective obedience. You're going to do just half of what they're told to do. You say, why do they do that? That's human nature. We have it. You and I have that as parents. We know that. Our parents dealt with it when we were young. Their parents dealt with it when they were young. This is human nature. Here we are finding this in this story, this outline here, that Saul was reckless and he was selfish. And rebellion always leads to subjective obedience. God said to utterly destroy everything. Saul picked and chose what he would do and what he would not do. But notice with me as we unfold this, Christians today, notice with me, let me apply this today. Christians today have picked the convenient Bible principles and dismissed the ones that are anti their agenda. We have principles that we teach here from the Word of God, biblical principles, and we always teach that biblical principle is something that God gives us that we must live by. Simple principles, commandments. It's very simple. Even our society has them today. Thou shalt not kill. You're going to get in trouble if you go out and murder someone. Thou shalt not steal. You're going to get caught. It's not right. Those are commandments. But there's also principles. Here, number one, recklessness of selfishness. Rebellion always begins a progression that goes down. And we'll notice this about Saul. And we want to apply this to ourselves today. We want to apply ourselves to the church here and apply it also to our country, as I spoke earlier of. Secondly, notice with me, resistance to sincerity. Notice Saul in verse 13, resistance to sincerity. Notice verse 13, and Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Now this is what Saul, this is what he says to Samuel, because here comes the man of God, because the word of God had come to him in verse 10. And he said, go back down and tell Saul something's not right. He hasn't done what I've told him to do. And so when Saul sees Samuel coming, he said, blessed be thou the name of the Lord. I have, what do you say there? Verse 13, I have performed all that the Lord has told me to do. He's lying. He hadn't. He's lying. And he confesses it here, but not all the way. Saul expresses pretense. You see his pretense. Here we see, today, Christians, we work hard at trying to be sanctified. Somebody knows that you're a preacher of the Word of God. You might work around certain people, and I do. And they know that if you're a preacher or in church or religious, all of a sudden they change their talk. All of a sudden it's about God. It's about church. It's about their family. It's about something religious. And they want to try to interact and try to put themselves on a certain level. And it's sad in a way. Even Christians in church do that. When you come to church on Sunday morning, we shouldn't just be Christians on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night. We should be Christians all the time. But some of us, like Saul, pick and choose the easy things to do and the tough things we leave behind. Listen, rebellion and worship don't mix. Rebellion and worship don't mix. We see here the resistance to sincerity. Saul says he had performed all that the Lord had given or told him to do. And so that's not the case. That's not the case. The exposing predicament is what takes place here. Notice with me. And Samuel, notice verse 14. And Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of sheep in mine ears and the lowing of oxen which I hear? Samuel knew, the prophet of God, knew what God had told Saul, King Saul, to do. He was utterly to wipe him out. Read the first part of the chapter. So Saul just gets stating to Samuel that I have performed all that the Lord has told me to do. And Samuel sets him straight immediately. Then what is this bleating of sheep and lowing of cattle I hear? You see, rebellion and sin don't mix. And so the exposing predicament is the bleating of sheep and the lowing of oxen. But we move on. Let's move on. Thirdly, we see the rationalization of sin. Boy, this is one that hits home today for us Christians. The rationalization of our sin. Notice with me in verse 15, Saul begins to explain himself to Samuel. Notice with me. And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites. Uh-oh. Somebody's going to get included in this blame. Let's read on. For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. And the rest we have utterly destroyed. So he begins to rationalize. King Saul begins to rationalize what took place. And so he begins to lay some blame on the people that he had. Now I begin to think, now wait a minute. You're King Saul. You're God's man. You're the king. And all of a sudden you stoop that low to blame the people that were with you, that were under your command. I'm not getting this. But you say, what's going on? It's the rationalization of sin. This is why I'm stating rebellion and worship do not mix. They do not mix. And so here we see the deeper you get into rebellion, the more you blame others. The deeper you get into rebellion, your rebellion against God, against what God has laid forth, you begin to blame others. Well, it's the job that I have. You see, I'm on this crazy shift. I can't make it to Sunday night. I can't make it to Wednesday night. Oh, some of that might be true, but let's not rationalize something that God said we need to have set right in our priorities. You see, God first, family second, ministry third. So God is first. God should be first if we're Christians, if we love Him. That's why we're saying rebellion and worship don't mix. And see, we see begin to see Saul's rationalization of sin. Saul's personal boasting, we notice in verse 20. Notice with me in verse 20, "And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and I have gone in the way of the Lord, the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites." There they are. And so Saul says, look, I have obeyed God, I obeyed His voice, and I brought the king back with me. And God clearly told him to destroy him. So here he's beginning to still rationalize. And so what happens in rationalization, rebellion begins to put you in a place where you want to lift yourself up and make somebody else look bad. And so we see here, downing other people always holds hands with lifting yourself up. Listen. That's why we preach against downing somebody, putting your mouth on somebody. Downing somebody always holds hands with lifting yourself up. And this is what Saul began to do. He began to lift himself up, give himself a boost, and put the people that he had down. He says there, Saul's pre-proposed benefit. Notice with me in 21, he begins to explain why he kept the sheep and the ox and the king there. Note 21, "But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, and the chief things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal." See, this verse right here clears up some stuff. As I look at it, it says, "But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief things which should have been utterly destroyed." Saul knew what he should have done. It was clear. But he began to rationalize this sin. That's why we're saying rebellion and sin do not mix. It ain't going to work. God's not going to accept his worship. I got news for you today, this morning. God does not accept my worship if I have rebellion in my life. He doesn't accept your worship if you have rebellion in your life. The first thing you begin to do in your mind this morning is rationalize the sin or the rebellion that you have in your life. It needs to be taken care of. Saul doesn't get this taken care of, and we see this at the end. It's sad. It's a sad ending. But notice with me as we begin to look as he rationalizes this sin. Saul, he says here, here's his prepossessed benefit. Here he says, offering sacrifice. We did this. We didn't complete everything God told us to do because we want to give God a blessing. And so we come to the verse that we read when we started. "And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord?" He said, does God accept what you did above obedience? The question today is the ultimate question this morning for the message. Does God view our worship greater than our rebellion? He does not. Rebellion and worship do not mix. Do not mix. And so he says here, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." And so on, as we go on, sin is never a benefit to God. That's a biblical statement that's backed up. Sin is never a benefit to God. Rebellion is never a benefit to God. Here, King Saul thought it was. God doesn't need you to do wrong to get right. God doesn't need us to do wrong to get His right. He wants us to obey. And this is what I have down here. God don't need our help. He wants us simply to obey the word of the Lord. Saul was using the authority that God had given him to disobey the God that had given him that authority. Today, God has given you a blessing. If you're saved in here this morning, He's given you a blessing, eternal life, everlasting life. But not to the input of us using it against the God that give it to us. Enjoy it. Share it with somebody. God might have given you a car or a job or a blessing, a family. Don't use that as a hindrance to not serve God. God is not going to accept it. Rebellion and worship do not mix. Rebellion and worship do not mix. All right. Fourthly, we see, lastly, and it's the saddest part of this, the rejection from service. We see the rejection from service. Listen, notice with me in verse 26. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. So it's clear, Samuel lays out what God told him to tell Saul. You simply have rejected what God has told you or commanded you to do. And the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. What basically we begin to see is God is going to remove King Saul from his position. From his position, not his life. Not his family, but his position that he has here. So we see rejection from service. Saul was not making a good king, especially if you're not going to obey God's word. Some of us are, Christians today, let me say this, are meandering around with the elementary level of Christianity. There are some of us, some of you here, that have been a baby Christians for too long. You need to move on to the next level. It's time to move on. It's time to move up to the next level. You say, why? Because you don't want rejection from service. If you don't serve God, God will find a replacement. God will not handle the rebellion, and he won't allow you to mix rebellion with worship. You can't be a teacher if you're not willing to be taught yourself. I've heard that since I've been here. Oh, I just want to teach. I want something to teach. But you don't see him Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday morning. Half the time, like, what's going on? Listen, God don't work that way. You got to be found faithful. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. It's first that a steward be found faithful. And God don't work backwards. You say, well, I want to be a good missions giver. I want to give all that I have to missions. Wait a minute. If you're not tithing, you're not going to make a good missions giver. You got to get first things right. This is what Saul was attempting to do. What it ends up is rebelling against what God tells us to do. Rebellion causes you to lose your position in life. You know how sad it is if you have a life of service and you're serving in a way that impresses the crowd but disgusts the master. You say, what's wrong with America? I'll tell you what's wrong with America right here in the pulpit. You say, well, I thought it was in the pews where the people said, no, it's what they're getting fed, taught, and preached from the pulpit. That was Samuel's deal. And Samuel's another character in this story that we're not elaborating on, but Samuel was the spokesman that God used for Saul. And Saul knew he had done wrong. But there's a lot of us that still know we're doing wrong, but we don't get it right. Let me say this morning, rebellion and worship do not mix. Don't expect you to worship. That's the sacrifice that a lot of us Christians give, is a sacrifice on a Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday or whenever. And we think God's pleased with that. Let me say this, rebellion and worship do not mix. And we're finding this out here. How sad it is in life to be serving in a way that impresses the crowd. We can impress people. It's not overly hard to do. You say, how do you do that? Give them what they want. Give them what they want. But we're not to impress the crowd. We're not to please the people. We're to please the master. We're to obey the master. Don't disgust the Lord Jesus Christ. But here we see, that God has a replacement. Notice with me in verse 28, and I'll wrap this up here. I know I'm short on time. Verse 28. It says, and Samuel said unto him, this is Saul, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. See, God's no respecter of person. Oh, yeah, he is. He says, he'll bless them that serve and obey him. And I'm paraphrasing here in Proverbs. And he says, this man was not going to obey the word of the Lord. And so he said, there's another one. He said, it's thy neighbor. And it was David. Two chapters into the future here, if you turn over two chapters, David arrives on the scene. A young man, ruddy, he's a herdsman. He herds sheep for his father, but he's the next king. He's the next king over Israel. And you see that that Saul doesn't get this right because he begins to eye David. He begins to despise David because he knows he's the anointed of God. And so Saul still has rebellion in his heart towards the end of this thing. So, but we first must see that God has an able replacement. Listen, if you're not faithful in your position, God has an able replacement. If I find myself wanting and set myself up on a shelf for God, a castaway, as Paul said. God has another man. We're expendable. You and I are expendable. Saul never got over his rebellion. We see this. He just never got a grip on it. He did not want to do what God had told him to do. You notice this. You notice this here in verse 32, and I'm going to show you why. Then said Samuel, this is the man of God here, the prophet, he says, then said Samuel, bring ye hither to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came unto him delicately. That means he was very careful what he said and what he was looking like. And Agag said, surely the business of death is past. Means he's thinking maybe he's past his life being taken. But that wasn't the case, because this was part of God's commandment. Notice here that Samuel's job wasn't just to set Saul straight. Samuel's job was to complete what God told Saul, King Saul, to do. And so this is what he does. And it's a horrible job, but it had to be done. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. Saul wasn't going to do. He still wasn't going to do what God told him to do. That's why we say rebellion and worship do not mix. So we see here God has able replacement. Don't ever think that your position in church, whatever you hold, is substantial or set. God can replace you in a minute. He can replace me in a minute. He wants obedience. That's what he wants. Obedience and worship mix, but rebellion and worship doesn't mix. And as we wind this thing down, we see that Saul has been told the truth by Samuel. To the best of my ability, I've told you the truth this morning. Rebellion and worship don't mix. Now, there's one of two ways that this can go. You can go Saul's way, or you can do what Samuel did and followed God and obeyed God. That's up to you. That's the decision that King Saul had, and God let him make it. And he let Samuel make his. But you have a choice this morning. I don't know what you're going to do with the choice. I don't know. I look at King Saul here, you think, man, he had everything. And I didn't elaborate the story that Samuel told him about where God brought him from. You see, King Saul didn't have a very fancy upbringing. He was shy, he was backwards, he was scared. And God gave him that, filled him with his Holy Spirit, and made him king over the nation of Israel. He brought him from rags to riches, if you please. You know, if you're saved in here this morning, God has brought you from rags to riches. Don't use what God has given you, the gifts God has given you, to rebel against God. You say, well, how do I do that? Not doing what God has asked you to do. Rebellion and sin and rebellion and worship don't mix. Let's all stand up as we begin the invitation.